what can we give back to Him? And so my prayer is that you came ready to worship Him. And, you know, today, I'm sure you came with a lot of things from the week, you know, stuff that's, you know, been bugging you, that's been following you around, that's been tough on you, that hasn't gone your way. Today, I believe the message is going to be one of those things that's going to be able to take some of the stuff that you experienced this week and look at it in a whole different perspective that will help you. And so we start a brand new series today called Fear Not. And this is our December, our Christmas series that's going to lead us up December 23rd, our Christmas Eve service. And again, like I said earlier, I hope you're ready for that. I hope you're inviting people to come to it. I hope you're getting jacked up about it, because it's going to be a great night and we're going to have a great time together, just really celebrating what Christmas is all about and what it should be about to us. And so this series, Fear Not, is just looking at the fact that the Christmas story, the Christmas account, is full of all kinds of opportunities to fear. And there are several opportunities there that we're going to look at. This is a kind of a three-week series, and then the fourth one will be kind of a special week. But we're going to look at three opportunities where angels came and spoke to people in the scriptures and that are recorded there, and how the first thing that they made sure they understood was that fear didn't need to be the reaction. And I think for you and I, the lesson is going to be that we're going to face some things, and fear doesn't need to be our reaction, that we're going to be able to overcome that. And so next week we'll talk about the fear of dealing with what other people think about you. And I think if we're all honest in the room, that's one of those fears that we all deal with. And it's one of those that probably everybody around you deals with as well. And so it's going to be a great time for you to invite somebody that you know that's struggling with that to come and just hear what the scripture says about it. Today, what we want to talk about is the fear of what God has planned for us. And, you know, I know that if you're anything, your life is anything like mine, that you've experienced times where you've had fear of what's next, what's God got for you next. And so we're going to look at that together and see what the reaction should be from us. And so, you know, we all know those people call us up, and we see their number pop up on our phone, and we look at it and we say, what do they want now? And I know what most of you are thinking. Yeah, Ron, that's you. But we all have those people, right? And if I'm one of those, hey, I am what I am. So you know, you need to answer, and you know, God might have something for you next time I call. But anyway, you know, they call and they always want something. And so what you do, you don't answer the phone, it goes to voicemail. And I just, you know, every time I call somebody and I'm thinking, and it goes to voicemail, I'm thinking, did they just, you know, dismiss me or what? You know, just so you know, if I go to if your phone goes to voicemail when I call, I'm guessing that you're probably dodging me, but it's okay. I'm going to leave you a message anyway and keep hounding you till you call me back. But we know those people. If you see them out in public, man, you dodge them. You go down the next aisle and hope that you get out before they do, and all of that stuff. They're just people that are always bugging you and they're annoying you because they're asking stuff of you. And they're asking for your attention and your skills or whatever it may be. And the thing of it is that we treat people like that, but we also treat God like that. That whenever we feel Him, we sense that He's doing something and He's pushing, you know, moving in our lives, and we tend to go down the other aisle. We tend to dodge Him. We tend to push, you know, that button and skip it to voicemail so we don't have to talk to Him, because we don't, you know, we're afraid of what He has for us. That He might just ask us to do something. That He might just ask us to do something that'll take us away from something we really want to do. Something that, you know, we've got planned. And so the Bible is full of opportunities that we see about this, but so is the Christmas account. Now you need to understand that we call it the Christmas story, but it's not a story. It is a true event. It's a factual event that happened. And so when we read this, we often look at it kind of like a fairy tale. You know, we get wrapped up in it like it's something not true, but the reality is that it is true. And so we need to understand that it's there. Now, if you see that I just about smiled, here's why. Because everybody picks on me because I say the reality is. All right, and I just said it, and I laughed because I know it probably, somebody just marked it down somewhere. So let me just say the truth is, or whatever it is, you need to know here, because I was called to speak the truth and the reality of that. And so I'm going to say the reality is a whole bunch. But anyway, that's a whole wild thing. I just had to get that out of me so it didn't keep bouncing around in my head. But here's the thing. When God calls and asks us to do something, we try to skip over it and move to something else. But if we'll just realize when He does invite us into doing something, it's something way better than what we had planned. It's something much more than what we could ever imagine for us. We think if we answer God's call, that He may just send us to Africa. You know what? If that's what He wants for you, you'll be a lot happier in Africa than you will be here not doing what He asked you to do. I'm just telling you, it works like that. And so God invites us to be involved with Him. You know, and so we get afraid that if we give up everything, if we just give Him all of us, that He'll do something crazy. The truth of that is, or the reality of it, is that if we'll give Him all of us, He's more than likely not going to call us to go do some crazy thing. He's going to call and take us exactly where we're designed to be. And man, what a sweet spot to be. If you've ever found yourself doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you're gifted to do, you know that it's just something that becomes very natural for you. I think a lot of our problems revolve around the fact that we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and therefore we're kind of going against the grain of who we are supposed to be, and so we end up finding ourselves really in a lost kind of, you know, wandering around looking for what we're supposed to do. So we need to be able to answer this, and so we have this extreme fear of what God may ask us to do, and we get very overtaken by fear. Fear is one of those things where people say, oh, well, fear is the absence of faith. I disagree. I think that fear is about faith. It's just faith in the wrong stuff. We put our trust in the fact that things are going to go wrong, that they aren't going to go our way, that things aren't going to be what we want. What if I do that? What if I quit this job to take that job? You might be better off. What if I lose, you know, what if I do this and I lose my whole pension? What if I do that and I lose, you know, my seniority? What if I marry that person and miss out on this other person? Well, listen, if God's called you to marry that, if that's who God's put in your life, then you're not going to miss out on anything. You know, if you marry somebody because, you know, and they turn out to be a jerk, it's not because God, you know, put you in the wrong place. It's that they're a jerk and they need to get saved or whatever. I don't know. But it's just that life doesn't work like we often fear that it does. And so maybe it's time for us just to trust Him. Maybe it's time for us to realize that the fear that we often find doesn't come at all from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's one of the most powerful scriptures, one of the most powerful promises that we can pull out of there, that when we experience fear, it's not God making us fear things. It's the fact that we have put ourselves in a place where we don't trust Him enough to do what it is that He asks us to do. This Christmas account is full of opportunities to experience fear. And today, as we look at this fear of doing whatever God asks us to do, I think we're going to be able to see that there is a way to overcome it. And we're going to look at when an angel came and He met with Mary. And so let's take a moment and watch this.
Joseph. is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Come, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus.
How can this be, since I've been with no man?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power from the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God.
Son of God?
Mary, even your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, for nothing said by God can be impossible.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
So now Mary is there. If you are familiar with the Christmas account, Mary is betrothed to Joseph, who you saw early in the piece there, and she's betrothed to him, which means that she has been promised to him to be married. And so here she is, promised to be married to him, and this angel shows up and begins to tell her this amazing thing that's about to happen. Now she gets really worried about the whole I'm pregnant and I'm a virgin thing. I just would have been freaked out because that dude showed up there. You know, I wouldn't have even made it past. I wouldn't have heard what he said because he was just there, this glowing dude. But she hears it and she's so calm and just takes in what he says and then begins to just listen and go through this process. And so I want us to talk about what happens, like what happened to Mary. What happens when our life gets interrupted like Mary's did? What happens, you know, when we have things come along, these interruptions, and we see them happen? Because what happens is we're so afraid of doing, you know, what God has planned for us, and then along comes something like this, and so what do? The first, I want to talk about a couple things of why is it that we're often afraid of God's plan. The first one is this, that God's interruptions are often invitations. If you want to follow along, you can write that on the back of your program. There's some fill in the blanks there. But God's interruptions are often inconvenient. He interrupts her life where she is betrothed to be married and says, listen, you're pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. And you're going to have the Son of God. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? Like what's going on in her head and what's about to happen? I mean, there's some pretty amazing things that happen in this account. Let's read in Luke 1, chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what this angel could mean. Now, there's some key players in here. The first one is Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Mary's relative who was considered too old to be pregnant, but yet here she is. She's in her sixth month of being pregnant. She's pregnant actually with John the Baptist that we read about later. And it's very significant that we would see that here's a miraculous pregnancy leading up to and foretelling of another miraculous pregnancy. And so Elizabeth is important. The whole fact that this piece is in there is important. The second really important character here, person, is Gabriel, the angel. Now, I don't know about you, just if we're just honest, and how many of you, when you think of angels, you think of the little fat naked babies with the harps? You know, floating on a cloud. I mean, that's where, you know, a little diaper on or whatever. That's just kind of what I think of. But here, you know, the reality is that's not what an angel looks like. And the angels that the Bible describes and shows us are very powerful. They were the ones who could wipe out an army. At any point, they could do whatever God says. They were fierce, warlike creatures, but yet they were also so obedient and so tame that they could come and announce the birth of the Son of God, of a tiny baby. They were amazing to think about. And here's this angel. He appears to Mary and begins to tell her this incredible invitation that she has. So then there's Mary, this 14, 15-year-old young lady who is a virgin, who has been promised to be married to Joseph, who has tried to do everything right in her life, who's tried to live the life that she should live. And then here along comes this interruption into her life that tells her that, you know, now she's going to have some explaining to do. There's going to be something that she's going to really have to think about. She's kind of planning for the wedding, you know. She's on like Pinterest, looking up all the wedding ideas. She said yes to the dress. She's ready to go. And that's where her mind is. And then along comes the angel, and he totally interrupts everything with these thoughts and this announcement that, man, things are going to be really different around here. And so a principle that we can learn is that what we call interruptions, God calls invitations. When things come along in our lives and things change off of our plan and what we thought they were going to be, that we often look at them as like, man, my life has been interrupted. But then God does something amazing, and we realize that really it's an invitation to do something for Him. This week, I spent some time with a family who had lost a loved one tragically. And what I found out was the family was, there was such animosity in the family. There had been a terrible divorce, and just things were just not going well. And as I kind of interacted with the mother and father in this situation, I realized that there was such anger there, and from one, but the other had such faith and was able to trust and just really see God at work. And so there was this real, not just physical tension, not personal tension, there was this real spiritual tension going on in this situation. And as I had an opportunity to begin to talk to them, you know, in different settings, I realized what was going on, and God just really began to really speak, and he began to tell me that there were some things he wanted me to do. Now, you need to know that I didn't know these people at all before this encounter. And he began to tell me the things that he wanted me to do in the situation. And it was a tough time of being able to trust him in it. But these people this family was going through this incredible, terrible interruption in their life. But what I saw God be really, truly doing was having an invitation for him to be able to do something much greater than that. The Bible is full of opportunities where people went through very tragic things and very difficult things that they saw as total, just, you know, halting the plan. But yet God was about to do something amazing and was inviting them into it. Think about Moses. You know, he's there, he's cast out, you know, of Egypt and all the things that have happened. And he has this encounter with this burning bush. And God tells him that life is changing and he's about to do something amazing in his life. Think about Jonah, who gets his whole, you know, water workout interrupted by a big old fish. You know, he was supposed to go and do what God wanted, but he didn't do it. And so God sends a big fish along and swallows him up. Kind of an interruption in his day, wasn't it? But it was the fact that he had an invitation for him to go and do what he wanted him to do. There was a Saul who was on the road to kill some more Christians, and he meets Jesus there, and God invites him to totally change his life. Sometimes when we face things in life, we see them as interruptions and sometimes very tragic and terrible things. But the truth is that God is often inviting us through the worst of life to be able to do something to change our lives and the lives of those around us in the greatest way. We need to be able to see those interruptions not as negative, but look for where God has something positive in those things for you. Some of us are here today because of some interruptions. You know, something was going on in our lives, and God sent somebody to keep hounding you to come to church with them. And so they invited you to come to church, and so out of just, because you just got tired of hearing a mask, you know, you said, yeah, I'll come. And you showed up, and you heard the message, and you heard the gospel, and because of that, God was able to change your life and bring you to a whole other place to be able to handle your situations completely different. God wants that for every single one of us. He wants us to see those interruptions, to see the changes that He brings as opportunities for us to be able to be all that He wants us to be. God interrupts our lives and things begin to change and opportunities begin to present themselves. Here's this young girl who this angel shows up to and makes this incredible announcement. And he says these words to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. It says, don't be afraid, Mary, or fear not, Mary, if you're a King James lover. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You found favor with God. What an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but if God's got some favor to give away, I want it. I want all He'll give me. I want Him to pour that out on me and give me all that He can give me. That's an amazing thing to hear that God's found favor with you to pour it out. And so I want us to be able to understand that the next time that a big interruption comes in your life, that you need to look at it not from a side of, oh no, here we go again, but oh yeah, God's got something for me. To begin to see that interruption as an invitation to follow Him as He leads us, to not fear, but to experience hope and to experience looking forward to what He has next. So the first thing we're often afraid of is that we look at these interruptions not as invitations, but negative. But His interruptions are often inconvenient, but we can look at them as invitations. The second one is this, that God's purpose is often different than your plans. That God's purpose is often different than your plans. Even when His invitations are inconvenient, even when they're messing us up, even when they're taking us out of where we want to be, we need to understand that God's purpose is often different than our plans. Verse 31 of Luke 1 says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name Him Jesus. He will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His ancestor David, and He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. You're going to have a son, Mary, and he's God's son. And he's going to rule over everything, and His rule will never end. Can you imagine God coming and saying, listen, your kid's going to be God's kid. He's going to be, he or she is going to be the one that is going to lead the people, the one that is going to be God's. Can you imagine what that would be like to be told something like that? Man, what an amazing emotional swing she must have been on. She's hearing this announcement first that she's going to be pregnant, and not just pregnant with just a baby, but the Son of God, the one who's going to rule over everything and everybody, who's going to come, and he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like? First having to go to Joseph and say, Joey, listen, I got some news for you. I'm pregnant. But then, listen, Joey, I'm not just pregnant. I'm pregnant with God's baby. I mean, can you imagine? It's like Mary. Have you been in the fermented wine over there, you know? What in the world are you thinking? What are you talking about? I mean, here's, you know, this plan that he's got and that she's got. And now God's come and he's got a whole nother plan and a purpose that needs to be carried out. And the angel comes and disrupts this and tells her what it's going to be like. We need to understand that God's purpose for us is often different than our plans. And we can plan all we want. We can do all the things that we want to do. And we can set things in motion to go, but we need to understand that God's purpose for us is there. And it's usually very different than what we want. We tend to have a purpose, or we tend to have a plan that's very self-centered, don't we? We want the best for ourselves. We want what we want, and we want it when we want it. But the truth of the matter is that God has a purpose that is greater than ours, and it's to take us and put us in a place that is to function and to receive all the things that he has for us. To be in a place where exactly where we were created to be. What an amazing thing it is when we really search out and receive the purpose that he has for us. To be able to trust us. I think going back to 10 years ago, like I had a really good job. Kelly and I had just built our house in Salisbury on our family land, kind of our dream house. And we did, you know, I was doing something that I loved doing. She was doing something she loved doing. We you know, our kids were there. Things are good, you know. Or at least one of our kids was there at that point. But she loved where we were at. It was awesome. We had everything we thought, kind of the world by the tail kind of thing, because everything had fallen in place. And then here comes God and says, guess what? I got a purpose for you that I need you to do. And he calls me into ministry and says, give that up. Don't do that, because that's not what I have for you. Here's what I have for you. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You rung the wrong doorbell on this one, right? But the reality of that was that he did have that purpose and plan for me. And not only was it to just go into ministry, but it was eventually, 5 years ago, was to bring us to Albemarle and to move us here, to give, you know, move out of that house, to move away from our family, to come here and to be able to be here and do the things that he's called us to do. I was talking with a guy the other night, and he was asking me about how that had all kind of taken place, and he was like, man, how did your wife support you in all that? I said, she's the one that told me we needed to move. Because she knew what God had for us. She knew that God was saying, it's time to go, and we can't live there and minister here. No, we gotta come. The purpose was way bigger than our plans. It was more than what we could ever imagine. We can't. It's like this is where we're supposed to be. We know it. And I'm telling you that God has brought invitations into your life. That He's brought purposes and put things into your life that are much greater than your plans that you have even for your own self. And so some of you are struggling with some things that it's time to kind of give in. It's time to hear what he's saying to you in all of these things. Sometimes we look at times where we lose our job and we say, man, life's over. What am I going to do? Only then to be able to have another opportunity to find a better job. Sometimes we go through hurtful relationship issues only to come out with a stronger relationship on the other side of it. Sometimes we've got to go through some difficult stuff, but if we'll trust his purpose and if we'll trust his plan, then he'll bring us out on the other side in a much better place. His purpose is greater than our plans. We need to be able to trust him in that. God has plans to bless you, to prosper you. You know, that's not some pie-in-the-sky preaching. That's not some, you know, positive thinking kind of preaching. That's biblical, that he has a better plan for us than we even have for ourselves. The truth is that we often overlook that and just Let that be something that we hear and some slogan that we paint on our wall or post on Facebook. But the truth is, we just never really believe it enough to trust Him to do the things that He asks us to do. We're so afraid we're going to miss out on something if we do what God wants. But the thing is that we really find ourselves doing even greater things when we allow Him to move through us. God has something for us. From His perspective, it's an invitation to do something that's higher and different, because His purposes are always different than our plans. Here the angel comes to Mary, and she responds back in verse 34. And she says, you know, but how can this be? Now, I'm a virgin. How can this be? It's impossible. It's beyond impossible. There's just no possible way that this could be happening. It'd be like an angel showing up and you know, to me and saying, Ron, you're going to score the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl this year. Like, that just ain't happening. You know, because the Cowboys didn't sign me this year. Yeah, y'all get that later. Yeah. So anyway, the thing of it is that, you know, there's just this absurd thing happens. And she's like, but wait a minute. So you got to explain this to me. And I think for a lot of us, we're sitting there saying, wait a minute. You got to explain this to me. And the truth is not in us having it explained to us. It's just being able to trust Him that whatever He's saying, we can trust. That we can have faith in Him because He's proven Himself over and over and over again in our lives. There's a time where God's going to interrupt you with an invitation to do something different. And His purpose is going to be different than your plan. And He's going to ask you to have faith and believe in Him and trust Him through that process. And what happens is we often never make it through. We give up and we say, you know what, I'll just do this myself. Number one suspect right here. Grab the reins and just say, you know what, I'm going to get it done. Outside on a table in the lobby used to be this really pretty little ceramic church. And so, you know, the ladies came and they decorated the church so nice for us the other day, and I'm so thankful that they did that. But true to me, how I often have to have my hands in everything, I go over and I grab the table and say, you know what, I don't like it right here because we need some more space for more Christmas tree boxes, you know, Operation Christmas Child boxes, because I was trying to think that really positive that more people were going to bring boxes today. So I said, you know what, I'm going to move this table over so that we can have more space. And guess what happens? So I go and do it. I pull the thing, don't pay attention that it's plugged in, and I yank it off, and it busts all over the floor. Thank you. And so I had a plan this morning to grab Kathy Connell and say, can you tell me, please tell me that's not somebody's great-grandmother's, you know, antique thing, you know, whatever. That would have been my luck. But anyway, I didn't make it. The owner of it caught me this morning. She noticed it first thing. So, and she just forgave me. So that's awesome. But here's the thing. Yeah. So here's the thing, though. Just like I had to grab that table and move it myself because I had, instead of just, you know, letting it be and just not doing my thing, I had to step in and do something. But that's exactly how we do with God all the time. He has a plan to decorate and make our lives beautiful with the purpose that He's given us from the moment we were created. And instead of just letting it play out, we go in and we grab it, and the next thing we know, we got stuff busted all over the floor. Sound a little familiar to anybody? Yeah, I resemble that picture quite a bit. So I'm telling you today that we got to be able to have trust in Him, to be able to understand that when we look at His plan for us, that sometimes it just takes us just holding on to who He is and who He's proven Himself to be in our lives. If you think He's never proven Himself to you, come hang out. And I bet in 1 minute I can tell you 5 ways at least that he's proven himself to you, and I don't even have to know you. Because I can tell you that if you just took a breath, that he gave you something right there. He's proven himself because he's given you life. He's proven himself because he's allowed you to survive some of the things that you've done to yourself, like I have as well. Some of us don't believe that he can heal our marriage. Let me tell you, he can do that. Some of us don't believe that he can deliver us from the addiction that we're dealing with. And I'm telling you, he can do that. Some of us believe that he can't provide for us for whatever the need is that we're struggling with right now. I'm telling you that he can do that. But you're going to have to trust him, and you're going to have to give him yourself totally to let and allow him to do something possible in your life that would seem impossible to you and everybody else. He can do that. Might as well get ready. If you're willing to do that, he will do something great. And that's when we see here with Mary. She says it's impossible. There's no way. And in Luke 1, verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." For nothing is impossible with the one who created it all, who made it all, who oversees it all, who protects it all, and who knows how it all will go. Nothing is impossible. Somebody's here today facing an obstacle. Somebody's here looking at something that they think is impossible with everything else around them. They've looked at everything and every solution that they can come up with. And all you got left is God. Can I just say it'd been a lot better if you'd have started there? I've been there. Where he became my last option. And if I would have had half a brain, he would have been my first option. Because he's the one who could bring us through and bring us out of it. So Mary says this could never happen. And the angel says, oh yeah, it can happen. And I don't know what you're going through, but I believe for all of us who are followers of Christ, there's going to come a time when something interrupts you and you think, I don't like it. I don't like that. I don't like the way it happened. I don't want it to happen. I don't want any part of it. But you're going to have to ask yourself before you say that, is it an invitation? Is this a time where God's opening a door for me to be able to do something that he has planned for us? Is this an invitation from God for his purposes to be different than my plans? To just be open to it. So I want to ask you a couple questions that I want you to deal with this week. I want you to begin to process them now, and then I want you to just wrestle with them this week. What is it? What is it God is asking you to do or believe? What is it? What's that thing that you're struggling with that he's asking you to do or to believe that you may think is impossible, that you may think can't happen? What is it? Don't just overlook that. Don't just say, you know, whatever, Ron. See, this week I want you to really wrestle with that question. What is it in this Christmas season that God's asking you to do or to believe that you have totally brushed off over and over and over again, and you just know that he keeps bringing it up? What is it that you keep resisting? Some of you, there's a ministry that needs to happen. For some of you, there's an apology that needs to happen. For some of you, there's just steps that need to happen. There's things that you're going to have to do to be able to see the possibility come true. What is it that he's asking you to do? And the second thing of that is, what is he asking you to do, and what's your response? What are you going to do with it? If he's asking you to do it, If he's asking you to believe it, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to stay where you are? Or are you going to trust him? Are you going to follow through? Are you going to take some steps to begin to put that in place? One of the things I love about, you know, Brian Urban stepped up. We needed another group where people could come and begin to learn together and study together to meet a need that we have on Sunday morning for people who can't get into a life group during the week. And he said, you know what, I'll teach on Sunday morning. And it's been so cool that there's a 9:30 class that starts in the conference room that started, quite frankly, the first Sunday was Brian and his two sons that he made come. And this morning I walked by there and, you know, there's like 10 or so in there now in just a few weeks. And I'm thinking, you know, what's the deal? Because we may look at it and say, you know what? I don't think life groups will work. I don't think that people will want to come together and they'll want to learn. I think they're too busy or whatever. We can make all kinds of excuses about why it won't work. But the truth is, in the church, we've got to get over our excuses and our own faults and be able to trust God to just do something stinking amazing, because that's what he does. He needs to do that in your life. Some of us are living where we know that he's showing us that we need to move on from whatever we're holding on to, but we just keep on with this grip on it, and we just won't trust him. Because what if? What if we let go? What if I do what God says to do? What if I do exactly what I know that he wants to do in me? What if I let go of this? You know what? What if? My dad used to say this, you know, when it comes to the if. You know, if this, if that, whatever. You know, he said if a hoppy toad had wings, he wouldn't bump his butt every time he jumped. You know, think about that. And for some of us, we need to get over the ifs of life and just say, you know what? What if I just did what God wanted me to do? We just need to be able to get over the ifs and be focused on the is. God is in control. God is God, and we're not. And we need to be able to trust him in that. Here's the thing about doing whatever it is that he wants to do. The outcome isn't your responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. The obedience is yours and mine. It's not that what happens will happen. But we got to be willing to do whatever it is that gets us to that point. Man, there's been things that I've done that I know God told me to do that just didn't work out like I thought they were going to do. But that wasn't my issue. That was God. That was his responsibility. I just needed to do what he told me to do. And for you and I, we just need to be able to do what it is that he tells us to do and let the outcome be up to him. You see, many times we look at things and we say, well, that failed. You know? And you know, we have these high, lofty standards of success, you know, in the church and in our lives and all of this. And the truth of the matter is that we can't judge success on things that God tells us to do, because if we're obedient and we do what we're supposed to, then the outcome is on him, and he'll do whatever it is that he wants to do. Maybe it was just for one person to come. Maybe that class was just for 10 people to come to. And maybe that's all that'll ever come. You know, maybe Wednesday night at 6:30, maybe that's all that's meant to come to that. Maybe Monday nights at, you know, ladies group, that's all that's meant to come to that. Maybe Tuesday night ladies group, that's all. But I just don't believe that. Now, I believe God is calling more of us to get plugged in, to be able to study the scriptures, to learn more, and to be able to do. But you know what? If that's all that's supposed to be there, then you know what? When we're doing what we're supposed to do, and that's enough for me. Would I love for this church to be packed with people every Sunday? Absolutely. Because that means people are hearing the gospel and that we're reaching the community. But you know what? I'm glad you're here today. So I'll take that. Next Sunday, I'll take a little bit more. You want to bring some more. But the reality of it is that we need to be able to trust him. Mary Mary responded to the angel. I love this. In verse 38, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Here's the moment that we need to really focus in. When was the last time you just knelt before God and said, you know what, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do? It's a scary place. Been there, done that. It's a scary place. But that moment when you kneel down and you just say, you know what, God, just, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And you begin to do that process. What an amazing place it is. See, last night when I was talking with that family and I heard that story and felt, you know, God was telling me that here's some things you need to say. And I said what he needed to say. And I had to look at man and to say, you know, you don't know me and I don't know you, but here's what I'm supposed to say. And then after that, it was a moment where I was able to go and God just began, he kept saying, you need to go pray with him. Go pray with him. Go pray with him. And I said, God, if I go pray out, I don't know what will happen. He said, don't worry about what happens. Go pray with him. And I went back to that family, and I just, as they were about to leave, and I said, hey, can we just pray together? And they were all, yeah. And so we bowed and we prayed, and I said, amen. And I made them all hold hands because I'm telling you, it was tense. And they all let go of their hands, and the dad looked at the mom and said, can I talk to you for a minute? I hadn't spoken all night. And they went over by themselves and began to have a conversation and began to talk about some things that my prayer is that will lead to some incredible healing in that family. And can I tell you that I was scared to death when I walked into that room, to the point, I'm telling you, like I was going to throw up. I was so nervous about what could happen and how volatile that could be in that moment. But the amazing thing was is that God's peace had gone before me and begun to melt that situation down. And it was and reconciliation, I believe, it began to happen last night. It may take a long time. There's a lot of hurt. But for you and I, there's things that God's going to interrupt us with, and he's going to ask us to do, and they're going to be difficult. And they're going to scare the living daylights out of you. But I'm telling you, if you'll just trust him, don't take it into your own hands, but just trust him to lead you through it. I promise that he will not let you down, and he will not leave you hanging. Never forget the outcome is his responsibility. The obedience is yours and mine. Let's pray. God, thank you for today and being able to just trust you in these moments. God, sometimes it's difficult to stand here and even say the things that you've asked me to say, because I know where people stand. I know where people are in their lives, and yet God, you always just say, trust you, and I do. And so, God, in these moments, there have been words that have been spoken, not by me, but by you, that have touched people where they are. And so, God, now there's an interruption that's inconvenient, but is an invitation. That messes with where people are, but God points them in where you want them to be. And so, God, as we go into this Christmas season, my prayer is that the masks will come off. That the whole idea of Christmas isn't about us getting the things that we want. It was about you sending what we needed. You sent your son as a baby to this earth to be born, to live a life that was sinless and an example for us. And then God, most of all, you sent him to die on a cross to pay the price for our sin. You sent him to meet our greatest need. To be able to be forgiven of our sin and restored into a relationship with you. And so this morning, God, there are people that are here that need to make a decision to accept your son Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for their sin. To accept it and be forgiven and set free from the bondage of sin, and then to be freed up to have a relationship with you for all eternity. And so God, today I pray that you would meet that need right where they are, that they'd be able to not be afraid, but they'd be willing to trust you today. God, there's people in the room who have made that decision, but God, they're afraid to do what it is that you want them to do, that they've hidden, they've run, they've done everything they can to avoid what you're telling them to do. But God, in these moments, I believe that you're speaking very clearly. And so as the band plays, God, I pray that you would give us freedom to move as you lead us. If it's salvation that's needed, God, then I pray that would be salt. God, if it's just forgiveness for not doing what you've asked, then God, I pray that would be given. God, I pray in these next few moments, God, that you would just move and prepare us for what it is that you have for us this season. In Jesus' name, amen.